And we're back, and you are listening to VillainCast, BJJ Antiheroes, with myself, Chris, the villain Pains, and welcome to Reap the Week. But first, a quick thank you to our members at In Theory BJJ, Concept Driven Jiu-Jitsu, for fight commentary, technique and concept videos, private coaching, monthly webinars and Q&A sessions. Please visit www.patreon.com/InTheoryBJJ. So, we did do a Reap the Week with Naki. It was glorious. It was a fantastic episode. Unfortunately, during the recording process, the synchronization of our two tracks resulted in Naki's track being delayed about 2 seconds or so behind mine, which meant that there were quite a few periods of silence and quite a lot of periods of just both of us talking at the same time. It was unusable and unable to be salvaged, which is a shame. It was great, but what are you going to do, eh? So it has been a while since I've sat down and recorded one of these. So there are a few episodes recently, one with PJ Lucy over in Ireland, one with Helen Harper, who's a UK-based, now-retired MMA fighter. And whilst we were on the road, I did an episode with Charles and Steve Hordinsky, and it was glorious. Great details in there. Unfortunately, the sound didn't come out perfect. I'm learning how to do this on the road and upload whilst on the road, but it'll only get better. So I have been out on a trip around the US with Charles Harriet. I am back actually in the US in May, at the end of May. I'm going to be training at the Globetrotters camp in Maine. I hope to come out maybe either a couple of days early or go home a couple of days late. So if you're in the vicinity of, I guess, the Northeast, let me know and we should say hello. But this trip, I think it was about 18 days. So I set off on the about the 23rd. I flew into New York. I absolutely love New York. I think it's a fantastic city, but unfortunately I didn't have any time to train. From there, it was a flight to Detroit and then a trip into London, Ontario to see some Globetrotters coaches and do some training there. It was then a drive down to Louisville, Kentucky, and down to Kingsport, Tennessee, across to Memphis. A quick stop over in LA before heading over to San Francisco and Sacramento. Back to LA, fly to Denver. That's where we spent the time with Steve Hordinsky, and then fly to Philadelphia and then Connecticut, driving into New York and then fly home. So it was a heck of a trip. 10 different gyms we were lucky enough to visit. As it was incredible being able to meet so many people on the road, so many friendly people, and spread these ideas. And this is the fourth time Charles and I have done this. So we did a trip in 2020 where we drove from his home base in Florida to Connecticut, 2,500 miles up the eastern seaboard. Quite an impressive trip, but I think this was the biggest one we've done. The most gyms and the most time teaching. And it was interesting because before I came out, I was very much into the idea of teaching posture and teaching true fundamentals, how I see it. So being able to stay upright, keeping your posture and hand fighting. And by the sounds of things, it went down quite well. And being able to get feedback off people and see how they trained it and have a mixture between ecological style and general drilling and somewhere in between, and just walking people through the concepts and why they should want them, create those questions. It was a fantastic experience, and I recorded the entire thing. There are 300 gigabytes of data sitting on a SSD hard drive with me, and that'll be turned into an episodic release on the In Theory BJJ Patreon for all members. Oh God, what have I done? It's huge, and it'll be not just me, it'll be also Charles, and it'll be released, it won't be released say in seminar order, it'll be released more in technique order, what would make the most sense. So obviously there's a few seminars where we just replicate the same thing. It'll be about 4 or 5 episodes per, but also there's going to be quite a few things that I need to explain. It assumes you already know certain things, and so I'm going to be putting those in the episodes as well. So there'll be quite a lot of information on Kindle Guard, or elbow frame as Charles calls it. A bit of judo, a bit of creating angles. It's going to be... I'm dreading it, and I'm so excited for it at the same time. Why? Why would I do this? For you guys, I guess. Plus, anyone who went to the seminars, hello. I hope you're listening. And it's free for anyone who went to the seminars. Just drop me a message on Instagram. We did have some questions before I went away on this trip. Naki has also been away. He went to Amsterdam to train with Tribe Grappling. The episode that we did cover that. But then that has been lost time. He'll be back next week and I'll get him to update you guys. But for now, some questions. I missed doing the mailbag. I won't do them all because I prefer doing with Naki, really. Just hearing his thoughts. The first question. The most effective way for teaching pressure passing. There's another question later with regards to how to keep someone down without making contact, but when they want to get up. I think it's the general gist of the conversation. Few things here. So there's been a few episodes I've released on In Theory recently. The first one for most effective way for teaching pressure passing is, first off, understanding what you're trying to do. You're trying to get ahead of the knees. If you can't get ahead of the knees in the first place, then that's a problem. The second thing is also making sure that you are utilizing your dexterous hand and your control hand correctly. By that I mean, for years I teach this, it's actually going to be featured in the In Theory episodes from this seminar tour, where for years I couldn't pressure pass, I couldn't over under pass in drilling, but I could pull off sometimes in sparring. I couldn't do it in drilling at all. So I go to camps and they teach over-unders, and lost on me. I could not for the life of me figure out why. And it wasn't until I had a left-handed student and he was hitting these things relentlessly that I realized that it has to do with which side I pass on. So I always pass pressure side to my right. I'm right-handed, so my left hand is controlling them whilst my right hand is driving the leg through. My left-hand student back in the day would do this the other way, do it left-handed. So it made him have quite a unique style of passing when it came to half guard that the majority couldn't replicate. This will be featured in theory when it comes to over-unders. I think there's already an episode on over-under passing with Orthodox Southpaw in mind, but I will extrapolate further on the seminar episodes that are going to be coming up. But I think the first thing that you need to really understand is A, making sure you're covering the legs, so it's over, under, round or through is how I want to get past the knees, and then making sure you're leaning in on your dominant side. If you've been having issues with your over, under passing, switch sides, see if that changes things. You may find that holding on with the hand that usually holds the paper and driving with the hand that usually holds the pen will give you better feedback. Who knows? Please send those ideas in. I'd be curious as to find out how you make these things work. But for me, it was a game changer finding this thing out. The other thing I think when it comes to pressure passing is making sure that you start putting stress on their spine. And that either means by twisting the spine or so as in make the hips go one way, shoulders the other way, or bending the spine up. And by that I mean curling it so head comes towards feet, or hyperextending it. So I want to put stress on the spine. The more stress I can put on the spine, the more pressure they're going to feel inside their body, and the harder it is for them to attack back. It's not impossible, but it does really limit their power when you start breaking the posture. Again, this is going to be featured in those episodes. I'm so excited. There's so much stuff came out in these seminars. I'm so glad I recorded it. How to keep someone down though without making contact. So we did a experiment about a year ago where I asked the folks in the gym, right, what I want you to do is half the room stand against the wall, and your partner is going to hold you against the wall with aggression, not necessarily physical contact. And that intimidation factor, and I wanted people to feel like, how does it feel being against the wall when you know that you're cornered and the other person can control the space? So it was all about that kind of MMA, octagon, cage control kind of mentality of, this is my space and I'm going to corner you. How does it feel for both parties? And one thing from watching them was that they were more aggressive with shoving and pushing someone against the wall. They didn't. And I asked them why afterwards, and they said, well, why would we have to clinch up with them and risk being turned against the wall when we can just shove them? And I went, yes, okay, well, how about we take that exact same idea and just flip it 90 degrees? And so instead of it being a wall, we have a floor. And just that idea alone of, right, now treat people in guard as if you treated them when they were pinned against the wall. You don't want to necessarily get stuck in a clinched up situation that can be reversed, aka a sweep into the ground, but you want to intimidate the space and be aggressive. And that shift in mentality alone help people maintain someone being on the ground, so being able to control the space, but also not make contact if they didn't need to. So I think as a general drill, try it. Try have one person against the wall in your gym, one person standing up, obviously. Intimidate them against the wall, and then take that exact same mentality, just flip your eyes 90 degrees, and then see how it goes against the ground. It's amazing how you treat people in guard when you look at it this way. It completely defangs guard if you see them in that similar kind of light. Again, it's not to say that people can't be counter thrown or counter hit when it comes to guard, and same as against the cage. But it's always for the better being in the center and not being with your back against the wall / floor. Next question. Who should avoid shooting for legs? Everyone. So, again, oh my God, this all came up in the seminars. It doesn't matter how good your shot is. A, you've got to be able to get down low fast. So if you're slow, I wouldn't recommend it, unless you're faster than the other person. But it doesn't matter how good your shot is, it doesn't matter how good your single leg, your double leg, it doesn't matter how good any of your wrestling is. If you can't hand fight, it doesn't matter. Same with all jiu-jitsu. So the example I give is, because guard is essentially almost a form of hand fighting. You're trying to get control of their body, getting past their legs. They're using their feet like hands. And that's going to lead on to the next question. If you can't get past their guard, if you can't pass their open guard, you don't get to play jiu-jitsu today. Oh well, sucks to be you. And that can cause frustration and for us to make poor decisions. And if we don't understand the idea of how we pass guard, this idea of I need to get over, under, around, or through your knees, it becomes almost impossible, because you could try and spam a certain style of pass and it being correct, and you not understand why. Like, you might love knee cutting, but against a certain type of guard, it might not work. And if you don't understand this idea of over, under, round, or through, and how to hand fight, you won't be able to pull it off, which means you can't get side control, which means you don't get to play jiu-jitsu today. It's the exact same idea when it comes to hand fighting in general, including upright, is that if you can't get past my hands, you don't get to give you your takedowns. So I don't think it's a question of who should avoid it. It's everyone who can't hand fight. Everyone who can't read the other person's stance. I mean, sure, you can absolutely just be a monster. Be a terrifying bowling ball of a human being. But there's no technique to learning that. Like, be a bastard. No. So absolutely, there are some videos on In Theory about hand fighting, and it's these distances. And funny enough, just before I came on this episode, fucking Danaher had put something out. I talked about it recently in some seminars, etc., where I talked about these multiple distances. So you have the first distance where we're just miles apart from each other; there is no fight. The second distance is where we're close to each other, but we're not within hand fighting distance yet. And that's where I need to make sure I've got like a down block and I'm aware of my posture. So if they do come flying in like a lunatic, I'm safe. The next posture is the hand fight itself. How do I get past the elbows? Do I go over, under, around, or through? Because I want access to your spine. Once I've accomplished that, it's all just like guard passing. Over-unders, double-unders, toriandos, sidestepping, leg drags. Apply the exact same things to your hands. And as soon as I've accomplished that, I then gain access to your spine. And then what I do with it is entirely dependent on where I end up. Do I have your neck? Do I have your hips? Do I have your legs? And then I do my move. But if I'm unable to read your hand fighting and find the right moments to go, and I say I just love arm drags, but I can't understand why I can't arm drag a certain person, I don't get to play takedowns today. Oh well, I don't get to play jiu-jitsu. So I think that's a fascinating thing, is that if you want to get better at shooting, you could be as slow as you want if you can figure out your hand fighting. That would be completely wrong body types. Still get it. Going on to the next one then. Is guard too complex for beginners? I think that leads in nicely, because you look at the question of what is guard, and looking at the last two answers of you're against the wall, essentially. Your back is against the wall and space isn't on your side. They control the space. You're cornered. Not to say it's not impossible to win, but you are cornered. Gravity is also against you. It's worse than being against the wall, because now if they get on top of you, you have weight acting upon you. Exactly. It's a bit shit. So what guard is then, is in this awful circumstance where I've been put on my ass, which throughout all of human history, being put on your ass was how you lost fights. Pretty much all of grappling is about this. Don't fall on your ass. So I don't want to be on my ass. The next part then that comes after is, right, well, why do we play guard? It's be able to even it out somehow. Instead of it just being my hands versus this person who's on top of me with gravity on their side, I try and use my legs. So I have four weapons, and the legs are the most powerful part of my body. But I need to use them like hands. That's kind of the critical moment, is how do I take these things which are usually used for locomotion and convert them into the dexterity of hands? You tell me if that's too complex for a beginner. You're asking someone who has never used their legs and feet like arms and hands before to use them in such a way whilst defending themselves against someone who's now overpowering them because they're the person on top, in a sport where it's already complicated as fuck and there's so much to learn. going back to what you said about hand fighting earlier, is that if all it is getting past the knees slash elbows and it's giving access to the spine and you don't know how to use your arm, your legs like your arms, it makes it very easy to get past your knees and you get beaten up badly. And it's a terrible thing to teach. So I think the first thing that you really should be taught is get the fuck up. Don't stay down there. Get your back off the wall, get your back off the floor, get back into space, be able to get the fuck away. Over time, you will be held down and you're going to be more comfortable in the sport by that point. And it's going to be easier to start easing this idea of hand fighting slash leg fighting, aka guard, into it. Not letting someone past your knees. I think teaching open guard is the most important part. This idea of, right, I'm going to keep you south of my feet, keep you south of my knees, and when there's opportunity, I'm going to get a hell up. Once you've got that kind of dexterity that it can do that, then we can move on towards actual guard. But that's so far down the line. It's so detrimental, I think, to throw people into that mix and you're teaching them to be in a terrible place where it's not on their side. When if you understand how to frame and pull your bottom leg out and get up, just do that. Just get the fuck away. Run. I mean, years ago, I was actually going to do a self-defense class where there's a running track in my town, an external outside running track, and I was going to advertise the self-defense classes for that and say, right, if you want to learn self-defense, get running and get running faster. But that's the UK. I guess you, in the US, I guess you've got guns, so just go range or something. Strange country. Final question then for this short Reap the Week. How did I come to train under Preet? So I don't mean this in a insulting way, I guess, but I keep saying that I'm Preet's student. I've never been his student. Not to say we're not friends. We are friends. But I've never learned under him in classes at his school or, you know, I've obviously studied the stuff that he's brought in seminars to my gym. But I was a brown belt when I met him. I've always been the sort of self-taught or taught by my students. So I learned, I've never properly done Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, weirdly. I joined onto a submission wrestling gym that the coaches left after 6 months and I was just left in charge. After a few years of just reading books, watching YouTube and just competing all the goddamn time and sparring with people and teaching them everything I knew, picking up the style that I currently teach with over these years. I met Christian Graugart. I was going to the BJJ Globetrotters camps. I got my belts through the Globetrotters camps for the Council of Traveling Black Belts, which, because of obviously people going to the camps and it being, you know, if you're an independent who doesn't have anyone above them, how do you get belts? And so every black belt at the camp then votes on whether you deserve your belt by training with you for the entire week. And if one person says no, you don't get your belt. And since I've been on that side of the curtain, there are a few people out there who I've said no to over the years, even for blue belt. Like, does this white belt deserve their blue? Rolls them? No. And they don't get it. They get some advice instead. But I got all my belts through the Globetrotters camps up until brown belt, and that's why I met Preet at the Copenhagen camp in 2017. That was his first camp. This Estonian who beat the shit out of me. I then went and met him again at the summer camp a few months later. Asked him how much it would be to get him to the UK. He didn't really know, so we just kind of went from there. And since then, we've been friends. Just because he kicked the shit out of me, I was like curious as to how the hell it happened. Because by that point, I was competing at black belt level. I think soon after I got back from that camp where I got my brown belt and I met Preet, I actually entered into a brown and black belt division and got second, beat some black belts to get there. But this Estonian kicked the crap out of me. And it all came from there. And it's been a sharing of ideas since. We haven't really trained much or shared many ideas in a couple of years now, but I am seeing him at this ecological camp in Florence in about a month's time. So if you're around and available, check that out. Check out Mars Jiu-Jitsu or Centurion. I think both kind of still apply in Florence. They've got all the details. So it's Preet and Francesco Fonte. Ed Ingemills, I'll be there as well. So please, if you're interested in checking out that weekend, it's going to be a intense couple of days. And that's the, I want to say like the 13th of April. It's whatever that weekend is. Yeah, so I came to Leonard Preet just because he kicked the shit out of me one day and I was like, I want to know that. How did that happen? And paid him a lot of money to find out. I hope this has been somewhat interesting. It's fantastic to be back sitting in my comfy chair with Sonic sitting behind me there holding my controllers. I've missed doing the Read of the Week. I really enjoyed doing it with Naki. It's a shame you guys weren't able to hear it. Come back next week for a full return to Reap the Week. This has been Villaincast.